After several months of back and forth, we finally got the signal from the market. The Fed is ready to cut rates starting in September. Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's episode, we're going to talk about the Fed getting into rate cuts mode. We'll talk about the stock market and Bitcoin's price, and we'll talk about what happened this week with CPI. I want to start on the global level and remind you guys that these central banks, they work together and coordinate on policy. They might not be cutting and raising rates on the same day or within the same month, but generally they all trend together. Look at this chart here with several central banks and their policy rate here on the screen. In black, you have Australia. In purple, you have Canada. Blue is Switzerland. Red is the United Kingdom. Green is the ECB in Europe. And finally, orange is the U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve. Now, what do you see during 2022 and 2023? They were all hiking rates together. Then what happened toward the end of 2023? They all flattened out. They all paused. So this is not a coincidence. This is a global economy and all the major banks coordinating their policy. This has been done for decades now. The coordination of these central banks stems back to the meetings in the 1960s and 1970s in Basel at the Bank for International Settlements, in which this place in Basel, the tower, became the meeting place and the place of coordination for all these central banks. Now, the tower was late 70s, but these meetings in Basel started in the early 1960s. So we know that for decades, central banks have been coordinating policy. We see that once again here in the 2020s, going into a global cutting wave. Now, Switzerland was first. You see that blue line step down twice now in 2024. After Switzerland came the Bank of Canada in purple. Canada has already done its first rate cut. They will be heading into more. Then you have Europe in green. Europe cut rates, and the European Central Bank is expected to continue to cut rates. In red, we have a Bank of England rate cut being priced in for the back half of this year. And now we have the Fed being locked in for its rate cut path starting in September. Now, we'll talk more about why exactly we got the signal that September is a go. It's a very, very important signal. It's something that we'll cover talking about treasury yields as well. But I want to start with the global picture to show you guys these rates all move together. So the fact that Switzerland, Canada, and Europe have all gone already, it shouldn't be a surprise to you when the US also goes. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with collaborative multi-sig vaults where you hold two of three keys and benefit from a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your cold storage and eliminate exchange risks with Unchained's trading desk. Unchained also offers the best IRA in the industry, allowing you to easily roll over your existing 401ks and IRAs into Bitcoin while still keeping control of your keys. Don't pay more in taxes than you have to. Talk to them today. Visit unchained.com/TBL and use code TBL for $100 off when you create an account. Now let's transition to the onshore money markets and talk about the Fed rate. Again, we'll get to the drivers and the CPI release and the yield curve shape here in a little bit. But I want to start with the policy rates. We showed you global policy rates. Now let's just look at the Fed. This is that downward slope that you saw in orange. Now you see it in gray here. This is the rate on the left-hand side of your y-axis coming down below 4% the expectation to come down below 4% by the end of 2025. So only about a year and a half away, we'll get rates that are below 4% on the policy side. And the first cut now being locked in for September. I have that arrow there pointing to September. And then I have 1% of cuts by Q1 of 2025. So within 6 to 9 months, a total of 1% of cuts or 75 basis points in addition to the 25 basis point cut that we will be getting in September. Now, why am I starting to speak in these more certain terms? Because when we get within a certain time window and the Fed doesn't do anything to disrupt the market pricing, it means the Fed has agreed upon its path and agreed with the market pricing in where it wants to be. So now we have approximately as of this morning, Friday, July 12th, 2024, we have about 23 basis points of cuts priced into the September meeting. That's basically a done deal. You have no Fed acknowledgement of reversal. We heard Powell in Congress basically not do anything to forecast rate paths, meaning that I am in agreeance with what the market is pricing. Because if he didn't like it, he would say, we're not going to cut. But he's not saying anything. It means he is accepting what the market is giving him, which is on this screen right here, a 25 basis point cut in September. Now, at the Bitcoin layer, we basically said in December that we'd get cuts by June from the Fed and that we would get cuts by March from the ECB. Now, what did we end up getting? A couple months early on the ECB call, and we'll be 3 months early on the Fed call. Now, why were we early, or why were we able to see this? We are not a prediction engine. You have to understand that about our analysis. We're not just guessing at what's going to happen. We are just simply listening to the market. So the idea that Treasury yields can go higher because of some credit risk to the U.S. government, because of some dismissal of U.S. Treasuries as the reserve asset in certain pockets of the financial world, is a completely ridiculous premise. In all honesty, Treasury yields only represent one thing, the time value of money in the US dollar spectrum. They don't represent credit risk because the Treasury isn't issuing enough Treasuries to spook the market in the long end of the curve. I have a user question that I want to answer later in the episode on this topic, but I want to just say the reason that we're able to tell you that the Fed is going to cut rates in 6 months and it ended up being in 9 months is not because we are good at predicting things. It's because we know how to listen to Treasury yields. Okay? So Treasury yields being inverted, we're telling us that cuts are coming because it's a time value of money construct. Has nothing to do with Treasury, the appetite for Treasuries abroad or the future of the dollar, or even gold, or Bitcoin for that matter. It only has to do with the time value of money. And so if growth and inflation expectations come down, the necessity of an investor to require 5% from the Treasury goes away. He or she will only demand 4%, and then only 3%. And the reason is because that investor is only concerned about the compensation for inflation over whatever time horizon. That's it. And that's all you're asking for from the Treasury. Now, in reality, you and I both know that if the Treasury gives you 3% a year in yield or 4%, your cost of living might be 5 to 10%. So you won't actually be getting compensated. The point, though, is that the compensation is relative to anything else in the market. And the lowest compensation is offered via treasury yields because it's also the safest without the prospect of a hard default. We're seeing commercial real estate defaults in AAA bonds now. So the risk is real outside of the treasury for bondholders. It doesn't exist on a nominal basis for treasury holders, only on a real basis, which means only inflation adjusted. And the yields are what they are. They don't represent any credit risk. So my point is that when the yields come down and they stay inverted to the policy rate, it's the market telling you the Fed will eventually cut. It's definitely not the market telling you there's credit risk in treasury land because foreign people are selling them because they're buying gold. It's just a ridiculous premise. So the market told us we were going into rate cuts. We know how to listen to it. The reason we know how to listen to it is because I've traded the Fed and I've traded money markets. So I know how to understand what the treasury yield curve is telling us about what's going to happen, as well as what the Fed rhetoric is telling us. It's impossible to predict what the Fed is going to do in 6 to 12 months. I will admit that. But it's almost easy to predict what the Fed is going to do in 2 months because they're so clear about it. They're so clear if you know how to listen. Now let's get into treasuries and show you how we knew and what the market is telling us now. This is the last 4 or 5 years of treasury yields in the 10-year part of the curve. We can see they have been going up. Why did they go up? Inflation. Time value of money means I need to be compensated more because inflation is higher. My cost of living is higher. My treasury yield needs to be higher. So the yield goes up. Remember, the Fed is lagging. The Fed doesn't actually do anything. It listens to the market and hikes or cuts accordingly. The market has been telling the Fed to cut for a long time. The Fed is finally saying, okay. The market told the Fed to hike in early 2021, but it took the Fed until 2022 to even start. But the market was first. The market said, I demand a higher yield before the Fed hiked. So the market leads. We have to listen to treasury yields. Now they're breaking down below this 4-year trend. You see this line, the blue line I've drawn? Treasury yields are breaking down. I flagged 4 1/3 and 4 1/4 as key swing points. We have failed. They are breaking down. They are heading lower. The Fed is also not doing anything to back down on cuts. So the bull steepener has arrived. This is the huge punchline from today's episode. The bull steepener is here. The cuts have arrived. And the bid for treasuries in the long end of the curve is a signal that the whole economy is slowing, not just that rates are going down because of rate cuts. Now, one thing I want to note on the housing market. We've noted how prices are still going up nationwide on a nationwide basis, but that in pockets of the country, there's a big slowdown and there might be an inventory problem. Now, people think that rates going lower fixes the housing market, but it doesn't actually work exactly like that. Rates go lower because the housing market slows and the demand for credit slows. And so rates going down only help the housing market with a lagging effect. But in the immediate term, rates going down are a sign that the economy has slowed and is slowing. It's not the immediate rescue. Now, of course, when rates go down, risk assets respond well. So there's always that direct impact. But from the economy's perspective, policy rates only work with a 1 to 2 year lag. We've talked about empirically the data is 9 to 24 months. So if it's 24 months, it means all those rate cuts that happened in 2022 and 2023, it's hitting the market, it's hitting the economy now. And the cuts won't hit the economy for another couple years. And so the boost to the economy from rate cuts won't happen soon. It means that now is the time the Fed is worried enough to cut because things are slowing. So that's the signal we're getting from 10-year yields. Now let's go to two-year yields, which are the policy derivative of the Treasury yield curve. It's what the Treasury market is telling the Fed to do, not the expectation of growth like 10-year yields are, but the policy rate expectation from the Fed and the signal to the Fed. Now, you see that the Fed kept hiking, actually, after Silicon Valley, even though twos plummeted. That's why that first green arrow up went all the way, took yields all the way back up to 5%. They came down again, but the Fed guided them back up. The Fed said, we're not ready to cut. That's why you saw the second green arrow going up. Now, this third red arrow coming down, two-year yields coming down, is not going to be stopped by the Fed. This is the steepener. So the steepener, for all you people at home that struggle with the flattener, steepener, bear steepener, bull steepener, what do all these things mean? You only have to know one now. It's the bull steepener. Bull means the yields all come down. Okay? Bull, because treasuries going up in price means yields go down. Okay? So it's a bull move as when yields come down, yields are coming down. It's a steepener because twos are coming down faster than tens are. So the curve steepens. And when twos come down quicker than tens, it's a signal that the cuts are arriving. And the green arrows that we had in 2023 and 2024 were the Fed telling the market, your expectation of cuts is wrong. We are not going to get that this time. It means the cuts are locked in. The Fed is ready to go. We're going to talk about rents as well this episode. We've been so focused on rents because Powell is focused on rents. Why is Jerome Powell focused on rents? We'll show you from our CPI attribution. But with rents coming down, it's basically been the main driver of inflation. It's over, meaning the worst of it is over. The Fed can get away from 5%, which it was really, it's the 5% level was really Powell's version of double-digit interest rates like Paul Volcker took to in the late 70s and early 80s. So that was his attempt, and that was far enough. And he's saying that is, it's too much, it's gone on too long, it's time to bring them down. And remember, the Fed really only needs 3% interest rates or so to be considered neutral in their own mind. It means rates can be cut 2% without the Fed thinking that they're actually easing. And that's the crazy thing. When they're cutting now, they'll actually try to convince you we're not easing policy. We're making it less restrictive, which is their mind games and their word games. But that's what they will say. We're not actually getting into easy policy. We're getting into less restrictive policy. But trust me, it'll be rate cuts that the Fed does. However they describe it, they can say whatever they want. They will be taking rates down, and it's not just 25. Okay, they'll probably be taking rates down 2% over the next year or two. Now, here's the steepener. So this is now the difference between 10-year and 2-year. So the actual math is the 10-year yield minus the 2-year yield. So when the 10-year yield is lower than the 2-year yield, this number is negative. And that's what an inverted yield curve is. And a steepener is what happens when this number goes up. So the 10-year yield goes higher than the 2-year yield. How is that going to happen this time? It's going to happen in a bull move. It means twos will come down sharply. So they were at 5. They're at about 4.5% now. They'll be down below 4%, I think, within the next several months because it's pricing in that 2% of cuts. So twos will get to below 4% sometime here over the next several months to a year. So twos are going down sharply. The steepening will happen because twos go down sharply and tens either go down somewhat or not that much. That would be what would happen in, say, a mild recession. In a big recession, you might get the whole curve really coming down hard. And so that's not our base case, but our base case here is rate cuts, growth slowing, maybe a mild recession coming, and a big steepening of the yield curve. So the first steepening of the yield curve I have is pre-dot-com bubble and recession. So the steepening actually leads the recession because the recession starts in the gray bars. So you see the steepening starts before the recession and actually signals it. It happened again in 07, and it's happening almost starting to happen now. I will show you the candles to zoom way in. But if you see this material steepening, it basically means the recession has arrived. Now I'm going to zoom way in on the candles of that steepening. You saw it struggle to get there. It has broken out over the last 48 hours here. Between July 11th, the CPI release, and this morning's follow-through price action with a fall in twos, the cuts are getting locked in. I know how to read them. Thursday, July 11th, and Friday, July 12th were the days the market locked in this cutting cycle. Okay, it's here. The steepening is showing you here that we're breaking above, we're heading to zero. It means twos are coming down. They're coming down hard. They might be at 4% before you even know it. You could blink and they would be at 4%. Just look at what happened in Silicon Valley. Two-year yields went down by 125 basis points in less than a handful of sessions because the market was saying, oh my God, you have to slash rates. The Fed and the Treasury hit the market with huge bailouts, unlimited FDIC insurance, and a BTFP facility at the Fed, which stopped the crisis. Twos went all the way back up, those 125. Now they're going back down, and they will not be heading back up to 5%. Let's switch gears to the risk markets really quickly, show you the stock market. These are weekly candles. The stock market rally is crazy strong. Right now, there's nothing standing in the way. It is a good sign for Bitcoin in that the stock market trades off of global liquidity, easing of financial conditions, rate cuts, money printing, fiscal stimulus, all of those things. So if the stock market is telling us these things, it is supportive to Bitcoin. We know Bitcoin has struggled of late because of some individual event type selling, Mt. Gox and the German government, we know, but we see ETFs very supportive. So we look at the stock market as a signal as to what is happening broadly in liquidity. The stock market is loving it. Now, Bitcoin, let's talk about the Bitcoin price. Bitcoin price fell down below its ascending trend line. That was a technical violation and it spilled, but it has rebounded very nicely. It's putting in some very supportive and I would say solid technical movement here off of that low on over the July 4th weekend. But because we fell below the blue trend line, we are now looking at these orange levels at potential areas of support and where we would like to see buyers come back into the market. So that's around the 51 to 52 level, and then again in this 42 to 44 area. But we will treat the local low with a lot of respect and see how buyers can come in and support this market in the absence of all this event selling that we saw from the US government and the German government. For more on the Bitcoin price and more analysis, you guys have to subscribe to our free publication, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. We give you so much information, research on both global macro and Bitcoin charts analysis. It's nonstop over there. So make sure you check us out at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe for our email product. Now, here we'll talk about the economy. Rents in orange is the Zillow rent index. In green is the CPI housing component. And in black is the headline CPI. So you see that the green line spiking and then falling has really drawn back headline inflation. It was the main driver. The contribution from housing is enormous. It's almost half the index is due to shelter and all the costs from rents to home insurance. The housing component is so important. So with it cooling and heading back toward the low 4%, the Fed is okay now to start cutting. Because remember, they don't think they're easing. They think they're just getting less restrictive. So they don't have to be at 5.5. They could be at 5 or 4.5 and still feel like they're fighting inflation. And that's really how you guys should understand why they're cutting rates, even though inflation isn't at 2%. I thought they said they were targeting 2%. We're not there yet. Well, it doesn't matter because they see it going in the right direction. Now, I want to close with a comment from a reader. TBL Pros are able to request custom content from us. They're also able to access live virtual Q&As once a month with Joe and myself. So go check those out at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. Brett responded to our new risk report, our new quantitative report called Mean Median Mode, which is an excellent Monday report you guys should go check out. He said, thanks again. I'm looking at $6 trillion in money market fund assets. When the Fed cuts rates and money markets is less attractive, a lot of money will flow into scarce assets. Question, your last section says the Fed must cut rates. When they cut rates, T-bill yields go down, causing less demand for them. And that's where you're wrong, Brett. The T-bill yields going down when the Fed cuts, that's correct. But it doesn't reduce the demand. Remember that the demand for treasuries in every single part of the curve has only one determinant, the time value of money. And so every day, an investor is looking at the bill yield, looking at twos, looking at tens, and looking at 30s, and deciding what to buy based on their own view of compensation. So if the curve is inverted, it means tens are at 4.2 and twos are at 4.5. So does that mean that the investor just goes and buys twos at 4.5 because it's a higher yield? Or are some investors buying tens at 4.2 even though it's lower? Of course investors are buying tens at 4.2 because they want to lock in 4.2 for 10 years. So your question is actually phrased a little bit incorrectly. The yields on T-bills going down when the Fed cuts doesn't cause less demand, and it doesn't impact the treasury to finance itself at all. People want bills. Now they'll want bills when they cut because they still want cash, and they will accept a lower rate because inflation is going down. So they'll say the market is lower in yield. That's what I will accept. I will still buy the bill. I will still fund the government. Okay, could there be a demand problem for treasuries when rates finally drop? No, because it's the time value of money. This is what the credit risk people completely miss. Yields going up or yields going down is the time value of money demand shifting around, the compensation for inflation shifting around from the market. The market tells you how much yield it needs. And so the yield is the yield. The Treasury Department will not struggle to fund itself under any Fed scenario. The only time when the Treasury will struggle to fund itself is when it issues more debt than the market can stomach. And in that scenario, we do expect the Fed to come in. And in reality, that is what happened during the pandemic crisis, when treasuries in certain parts of the curve lost a bid completely and the market seized up because the sheer size of the treasury market was too large to function without the Fed. And so that was a moment in history that needs to be studied even more. However, in the day-to-day operation of the Treasury Department, they do not struggle to fund themselves under any interest rate environment because the demand is compensation for inflation from the world of investors. The shape of the curve is determined by how much is being issued here and there. So when you hear us do all the analysis on QRA, which is the size of Treasury auctions across the curve, or you hear us talk about bills as a percentage of total treasuries issued, it does matter for the shape of the curve. and it will affect, you hear people talk about term premium. Term premium is a combination of the compensation and also all these supply-demand issues. What if all of a sudden insurance funds, who typically buy a lot of 30-year bonds, got a regulation that says they're no longer allowed to buy 30-year bonds and they can buy maximum 10-year bonds? This is a hypothetical. It would never happen. The bid for 30 years would largely go away. I mean, it would completely change the structure of the market, and the curve would steepen, and you would probably see 30-year yields go up a lot. You would probably see the Fed come in and do some sort of bailout, or the Treasury do something to adjust. The point is that the shape of the curve is only somewhat determined by how much is being issued, but it's mostly being determined by the compensation for inflation being demanded by investors in 3 month, 6 month, 12 month, 2 year, 3 year, 5 year, 7, 10, 20, and 30 year maturities. Thanks for sticking with us today at the Bitcoin Layer. We hope you learned a lot. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel, like, rate, review if you're listening on audio, and don't forget to catch us at thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. Thanks to Unchained for presenting as well, unchained.com/TBL, for the leader in Bitcoin financial services. We'll catch you next time.